Amen. Aren't you thankful for the amazing grace that's found in Jesus? Amen. How many of you know the grace that is found in Jesus is always greater than any sin you could ever find in you? The Bible says that where sin does abound, grace does so much more abound. And I don't care what you may have done or who you may have been or where you might have gone, the grace of Jesus sustains you. And when you run to Him, friend, He runs to you with love and mercy and forgiveness each and every time. Amen. Amen. Well, we're so excited to have you guys here at Word of Life. Before you're seated, turn to someone and say, look, I spent too much time getting ready this morning not to have you tell me how good I look. Tell me how good I look this morning. And you can be seated. You're a good-looking group, especially good-looking here at the 1 o'clock service. I tell you what, we're glad to have you here. You're fastly becoming my favorite people. It's just an honor and a joy to be standing here in front of you guys. You know, I told the second service this 15 years ago today. My father went home to be with the Lord, and I tell you what, it was such a life-changing day on so many different aspects, as I've talked about and as you can imagine. And you know, God's amazing grace, like we sang about, has just, it's sustained me and brought my life into this place where I look at it and I see it's whole. My life is whole. It's perfect, complete, and lacking no good thing. Professionally, you know, we have 5 services. It's amazing. Personally, I look at my family and I look at my kids, you know, and for me, when that happened, I began thinking about, well, you know, who's going to, you know, grandfather my kids and all these types of things. And I look at my kids and I see the love that God has placed in their life through all these different people and avenues. And I just see my kids haven't missed a beat. My family hasn't missed a beat. My finances haven't missed a beat. God has just completed everything in my life. And so I want to encourage you that no matter what you may be going through, if you will put your faith in Jesus and trust in His amazing grace, no matter how bad it looks. Because honestly, on that day 15 years ago, about this time, I thought my life was over. I thought my life died when He died. But friend, I stand here today 15 years later in awe of the grace and the goodness and the amazing life God has given me. And it's all because of Him. And so I just want to encourage you, if you will place your faith in Him, you can see God do in your life what He's done in mine. Amen? Amen. I tell you what, He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Savior. Well, today we are going to take the opportunity to be generous. And we are believing God to not only build a building, but to pay the Joker off. And we believe it shall be done in the name of Jesus. And it'll be light and easy in its process. And so today we're going to take the time to take up a special offering just for the building. We are adding on to this facility 67,000 square feet. It'll enable us to do 2 services and stay at 2 services instead of having the 5 that we have now. But with that, we're excited about it, and we're looking to raise $10 million. And that sounds like a big number, but like we said last week, you take $10 million divided by 67,000, you get $150 per square foot. And so all we have to do is believe God for $150 67,000 times, which I fully intend to do. And so I can do that. It may take me some time, but I can do that. And so with that, we have people here today who have prepared an offering and who are going to give it. And we just are honored that you would do that. If you'd like to give today and you say, well, how would I do that? You could give in any number of ways. One, through an info card. You give through the kiosk, or you could text whatever amount to building at that number. And whatever you put, whatever figure you put and attach building to, it goes straight to the building fund. So we wouldn't use it to operate off on. It goes to knock out square footage. And so we've already had several thousand square feet knocked out, and we plan on knocking out even more today. But I just want to encourage you in your giving and to ask you to do something for me. I want you to give, if you are giving today, in faith, in faith. And I'll tell you a quick story to tell you what I mean by that. About a month and a half ago, we gave $50,000 to a ministry that is looking to provide ministry in the West Indies. Basically, I'm having a conversation with this missionary, and they're telling me all these amazing things that God has called them to do and feel like they need to do in the nation. And how it started was, is they sent a letter to me a couple of months ago asking me to support this. And as soon as I got the letter, I felt like I'm supposed to call them and just see what they're doing and how we can be a part of it. And long story short, the more they talked about what they were doing in the West Indies, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that at the end of that conversation, I was to ask them, well, how much does it cost? And whatever they said, we as a church were to cut them a check for that amount. So I'm nervous, like the whole conversation. I'm like, I don't know. They're renting out a stadium and they're giving pastors all this software and putting on this huge conference, you know, nationwide. And I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, I don't know how much this costs to do all this kind of stuff. I've never rented out a stadium. So when she said $50,000, I knew, okay, let's do it. Let's roll with it. And so I told her, hey, look, don't worry about the money. Only worry about the ministry. You just go minister to some people, win them for Jesus, help some pastors, and help establish the kingdom of God all throughout that nation. Just go and do it. And I tell you what, it was so much fun saying it. I told the Lord after the conversation, I said, Lord, I want to say that for the rest of my life. Just tell a whole bunch of other ministers, look, don't worry about the money. You just take care of the ministry. We're going to pay for the entire thing. We will do that for a very long time. But anyway, I tell you what, after I gave that, the presence of God just filled the room. And my sister was in the room with me, and we're crying. And the missionary on the other line is crying because they never saw that coming. And it's just an awesome thing. And the next morning, I went out to have my morning devotional, and I decided to kind of break my pattern and to go out to the reservoir, and got out there about 4:45 and was just walking around and praying. And it's too dark there, you know, to read your Bible. The sun wasn't out. So I took out my iPhone and just started to encourage my faith in Scripture. And I pulled up Philippians chapter 4. And started reading it in a lot of different translations. And I came across the Message Bible, and I just love how the Message Bible translates the Scripture. I want to show it to you today because, man, the Lord, He blessed me big time when I read this. This is Paul writing to the church at Philippi, and he says, look, you Philippians well know, and you can be sure I'll never forget it, that when I first left the Macedonian province, venturing out with the message, this amazes me. But I guess it's just the way some people are. Not one church helped out in the give and take of this work except you. Basically, he said, every single one of these other churches, they took my ministry and consumed it. They allowed my ministry to bless them, strengthen them, encourage them, uplift them, all of those types of things. But all they did is consume it. They didn't give anything back to it. They weren't partners. They were consumers. And he says, but you did. You were the only one. And he said, I want you to know something, that even while I was in Thessalonica, you helped out not only once, but twice. Not that I'm looking for handouts, but I do want you to experience, and this is exactly what I want for you as a church member, but I do want you to experience the blessing that comes from generosity. He says, look, now I have it all and keep getting more. The gifts that you sent through Epaphroditus were more than enough, like a sweet-smelling sacrifice, roasting on the altar, filling the air with fragrance, pleasing God to no end. He says, you can be sure that God will take care. I love this. You can be sure that God will take care of everything you need. His generosity exceeding even yours in the glory that pours from Jesus. How many of you know we can be sure God will take care of everything we need because our generosity will never outdo His generosity? And I'm reading that walking around the reservoir. I'm highlighting it in my Bible app. And the Lord speaks to my heart and He says, son, I know you know when you gave that gift that you blessed that missionary and the people they will minister to. I said, I know I did, Lord. It's awesome. He said, but I want you to know that not only when you gave did you bless them, you blessed me. It honored me when you did that, and I was well pleased with it. It was like a fragrance that filled up heaven. I said, Lord, I know it blessed you. Your presence so filled that room, it just brought everyone there to a point of tears. I know it blessed you. We were so blessed to be able to do it. We said, son, I want you to know, not only did it bless them, and not only did it bless me, it blessed you. Because he said, son, there's no way your generosity will ever exceed mine. And you can be sure everything you need for this new building, it will surely come to you. I will meet all of your needs according to my riches in glory. He said, son, give with the harvest in mind. Don't just give because you just felt compelled to. But he said, son, give with the harvest in mind. Give in faith that my generosity will exceed even yours. And I want to encourage everyone who's being generous today to not just sow it knowing that it'll be a blessing to the church, but sow it knowing it'll also be a blessing to God. But even more than that, it's also going to be a blessing to you. It enables God to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you don't have room enough to receive, but you're going to have to believe for it. And I want you to do it as you place this seed in the offering bucket as it goes by, to believe to see God's grace and generosity show up in your life like never before. What's neat is not only are you guys doing this, but there are people literally all over the world who listen to our podcasts who are also connecting with us and knocking out square footage and all of those things. I got this letter this week from a church in Oregon, right outside of Portland. And they sent us a letter about 3 months ago. And they were asking me what advice I would give to a pastor who was starting a church. And so I took the time to write a letter back unto them. And as I was writing, I felt compelled to sow a significant gift from our church into their church to help it get started. And they wrote me back and said, "Dear Pastor Joel, I want to send you a quick note to update you on how we are doing at the Refuge," that's the name of the church, "and to thank you again for your radical generosity. The seed you sowed into us blessed us in so many ways. The encouragement it brought me was profound and immeasurable. With the gift you gave, we were able to purchase a sound system, put some money aside for future growth, and most importantly, sow some seeds to other ministries. We are growing at a good pace, and as I write this, we have about 40 to 50 in regular attendance. The truly amazing part for me is that very few of the families that are coming have ever heard the wonderful message of faith. Most of them were not attending church before they came to the Refuge. And week after week, I hear them say, 'We have never heard this teaching before.' Most importantly, they are receiving it with joy and enthusiasm. They are growing in faith. I am looking forward to coming to visit you and your church someday soon. And we would like to pledge $200 per month towards your building program. And we are united with you in faith for the project to be paid in full and your ministry to continue to be debt-free." I love this part. They said, "Please tell your people how much they mean to us, and we thank them for their generous hearts. Thank you for your faithfulness to the call and not giving up when you wanted to. Your messages continue to bless and inspire us. God bless the Refuge Church." Isn't that awesome? All over the world. So I just want to encourage you, give with a big spirit of faith today. We're going to pass the buckets right after we pray. And after they pass, I just want you to stand to your feet and proclaim this song over your life and worship the Lord with it and allow your faith to be released in this moment that God's generosity is going to move in your life and exceed even the generosity you are giving with today. Amen. Amen. Let me pray over you. Father, I thank you for these amazing people. They amaze me. I love this 1 o'clock service and the people who are here. And Father, I just thank you. You see their hearts. Bless their generosity. And Father, as they sow, I thank you, they also reap. That you open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing they do not have room enough to receive. Father, increase them more and more, them and their entire household. Meet all of their needs according to your riches and glory. Father, we call that new building built and we call it paid off. We thank you for it. In the matchless name of Jesus, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We worship you, Father. We give you thanks. We praise and worship your matchless name. Thank you, Jesus. I hear this in my heart. The time to change is now. Change is in the air. You don't have to wait. You don't have to say until this happens or that happens, then I'll change. The time to change is right now. Your time is now. So don't make an excuse as to why you can't or why you won't. And don't allow the influences of the past, the people, and the situations to pull you back into the life that I've called you out of. For now is your time and this is your season to step out and realize my hand is upon you, my grace is around you, and my spirit is for you. For I've led you to such a time as this, for you've been called to this place for such a time as this. Your life is designed by me, says the Spirit of the Lord, to be used in a mighty way. So don't hold back and think, well, I'm not right or this is not right. No, change what's not right. And make a decision that as you put your hand to it, you will see my spirit prosper that thing. You'll see my grace surround you in that decision, and it'll be easier than you trying to do it in your own strength because the time to do it is now. Don't delay. Don't wait. Don't put it off another day, another month, another year, another season. No, the time to change is now. For I hear the Lord say, if you would put it off, there'll be a delay of the things that I have for you. If you put it off, there'll be a delay of the things that I've called to be with you. So don't put it off. Make the change. Don't put it off. Make the change. Don't make an excuse. Make the change. And you will see when you do that my hand is upon you and you will be glad you did. For the time to change is now, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Father, we say we will. We will, for those of us who need to make a change, consider it done, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Yep, change. It's in the air. It's time for it. So we'll be willing to do it. We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, just you say this with me. Say, I'll do it. I'll do it. Consider it done, Lord. I'll do it. The time is now. The time is right. I'll make the change. I'll do it. I'll do it, Father. Consider it done. I'm changing. By your grace, I follow you, and you will make me into who you've called me to be in Jesus' name. I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it, Lord. Consider it done. Amen and amen. Father, we thank you. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. We'll do it. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for each and every one of these amazing people. I thank you, Father, you help them, you restore them, you refresh them, and you allow them to leave this place better than when they came into it. I think we may already have. But Father, we honor you. We thank you for your word and your witness. We thank you, Father, they help us run our race, finish our course. We love you, Lord. We're so thankful for you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to someone this morning again, shake their hand, and tell them, good for you for coming to the 1 o'clock service. And you can be seated. I tell you what, you've already helped us. You've created room in the 11:30 service, which is great because, like I said, every seat you open up there, even if it's just one or two over the span of time, will be filled by someone else. So I tell you what, you're huge, and what you're doing is huge for the good of this church. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's good to see you guys, each and every one of you. It's good to see you. Love it. I love pastoring you. And like I said, I'm just amazed at what a difference 15 years can make. I tell you what, God's got a plan. Amen. Let's open up our Bibles this morning, the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we'll read a couple of verses here. Got a quick little message for you. But I think if you will take the time to hear it and later, especially, do it, you will be glad you did. We've been studying the life of David, and the reason why we're studying David is because David goofed up. Have you ever goofed up before? Anyone goofed up? Maybe this week, last month, year ago, goofed up. David goofed up. In fact, I guarantee you, David goofed up far more than you have ever goofed up or probably will ever goof up. But yet God still used him. and blessed them, because the calling of God for your life remains no matter where you go, who you are, or what you do. The call God has for you remains steadfast. And with that, we said we want to study David's life because throughout his journey of life, his many decades on the earth, in spite of his humble beginnings and huge mistakes, God was able to take his life, use it, make it a difference maker, not only for David's family, but for the whole nation, for the whole kingdom. And I think there's some difference makers in this room this morning or this afternoon now as well. And I mean that. There's some difference makers in this room. And if you will take heart to what we're talking about, not just in this message, but in all the series that we've done in this teaching on David, I think God can do some really neat things with your life. Today we're going to look at something that was not just in David's life once or twice, but this is a way David lived. Like this was a part of his daily, weekly, lifetime pattern. And to show it to you, I'm just going to show you some scriptures on screen. I'm going to read these scriptures along with you. And I want you to see if David did anything in particular with habit force from the scriptures we look at. They'll throw the first one up on the screen. 1 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 2. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Yep, go, smite the Philistines and save Keilah." David's men said unto him, I like David's men because they must have been from the south. Look at the way they talk. "Behold, we be afraid. We be afraid. We be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" And notice what David did again. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into your hand." Now notice, this was not just something David did once or twice. This is the way David lived. I'll show it to you. Again, just a couple of verses later in verse 10, it said, Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, your servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake." Notice this in verse 11. "Will the men of Keilah," this is David talking to God, "will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech you, talk to me, tell your servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then again said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "Yep, they will deliver you up." So David got out of that place and saved his life. Why did it save his life? David heard from God. 2 Samuel 2 and verse 1, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go?" Whither's a great word. We should use it more. "Whither shall I go?" And he said, "Unto Hebron." God's getting specific with this instruction. So you can skip that one, go to the next one. 2 Samuel 5 and verse 17. "But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over all of Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold." Watch what he did there. "The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? And the Lord said unto David, Yep, go up. For I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand." David went up, and he delivered the Philistines. "Then the Philistines came up yet again, spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim." This is for the second time. "And David inquired of the Lord, and he said, Shall I go up? And the Lord said, Thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up them over against the mulberry trees." And David did this and saw victory this day. Now, I know that's a whole bunch of scripture. I know we read a lot there. But did anyone see any particular pattern in David's life that David was just doing like a lot? Anybody see anything? David, oh, I heard someone say it. You're smart. You are smart people. David inquired of the Lord. And this was not something David did once or twice. David lived this way. David lived with the mindset that God could speak, and if God could speak, why won't I take the time to actually hear his voice and then follow that instruction? If I'm making critical decisions in life, why would I make those decisions without the voice of God in my life? David knew God was a speaking God. And how many of you know God is still a speaking God? If there's one thing your Bible shows you, like from the concordance all the way to maps, that's before Genesis and Revelations, is this. God is a speaking God who absolutely longs to talk to you about you and about your life. You see it over and over and over and over and over and over again. You see Jesus stand up. You couldn't get any plainer or clearer than this. He said, "My sheep, I want them to do something. I want my sheep to know what? my voice and the voice of a stranger, I don't want them to follow. I want my sheep, my kids, to hear from me. I want to lead them, and I want to guide them. And in my notes, when I was taking notes on the life of David, this is how I wrote it. Seems to me as if David was incredibly proficient at hearing the voice of the Lord. I began thinking, what if I could get that proficient at hearing from God? Like, I know without a shadow of a doubt God is speaking to me right now. How would that change my life? How could that alter my life if I could hear from God with that type of accuracy? I believe it'd be a game changer. Because I believe if God can lead you and instruct you and does and you hear it, there's no way he's going to lead you into anything but success and significance. It's a game changer. Friends, you ought to be hearing from God. And it's my job as a pastor to teach you how to hear from God. It's not complicated. In fact, it's very simple, like everything in Scripture is. But you're going to have to make a decision to live a particular kind of lifestyle. And unfortunately, most people will never decide to do this, no matter how hard I preach on it, because it will cost you. There will be a measure of sacrifice to something about your life that you will have to change. You will have to put on the altar of God, and you will have to sacrifice that thing. But friend, I'm telling you, if you are willing to do what I am telling you to do today, it will change your life. Literally, I'm not overselling this. This has no preacher hype to it whatsoever. This will literally change your life. How do I know? From firsthand experience and from studying the lives of people like David, this changed their life. One thing that we cannot debate or doubt is David heard from God again and again and again and again and again. I began immediately seeing God spoke to David. David heard from God, based his decisions of life around hearing from God, and every one of those decisions always worked out incredibly well for him. I began to try to see what was David's pattern for hearing from God, because like we said at the beginning of this year, if I can copy your pattern, I can produce your product every single time. I could produce literally a life just like anyone in this room if I chose your pattern. If I lived by your pattern, I could produce your product. And so the same thing is true in David's life. To produce this life of hearing from God, you see David's life when you study it, which I encourage you to do, you see a pattern that develops in his life. He got this pattern and he started implementing it, and this pattern produced this product. Now, I'll tell you the pattern here in a minute because, once again, if you can copy the pattern, you can produce the product. But I began wondering, where in the world did he learn how to do this? Because it's so simple, but yet it worked for him every single time when he needed to hear from God. Where did he learn it? And as I'm meditating on this, I just felt like the Lord deal with my heart. And he said, look, where did you learn it? How did you learn it? And I told him, well, Lord, from the men who came before me. How many of you know there's some men who came before you too? Some ladies who came before you. And the Lord dealt with my heart on that day. And he said, look, Joel, you are standing on the shoulders of giants. And it's the truth. I am. Because of the life of men like Keith Moore, who's coming to be with us on May 4th, which I am pumped about. From Ronnie Sims to Brother Hagen to all of these men. Through being around their life, I began seeing how to hear from God, and I stand on their shoulders, and because of the life they lived, I am able to live the life I live. For you in this room, you stand on the shoulders of giants too. And friend, I want to encourage you to go back to the giants who have been in your life and tell them thank you and appreciate them. Honor them, support them, the people who prayed you through some things, the people who loved you through some things, the people who taught you some things in life. You need to honor the giants who you stand on, and with that, I want to encourage you to do that. But the Lord dealt with me and said, you know what, in David's life, it's the same thing. David didn't just magically one day say, you know what, I'm going to hear from God, and then did it. Someone taught him how, and I believe the person who taught him how was a man who was hearing from God when no one else was. It was a man by the name of Samuel. Samuel was a couple of generations ahead of David. And Samuel, man, he had an ear for the Lord's voice like no one else in his generation. And through intimate fellowship with David, I believe Samuel taught David some things that changed the course of David's life. And so how I wrote this message was, if Samuel could sit in this chair right now and teach us how to hear from God, what would he tell us? If Samuel ever sat down with David and said, here's how you hear from God, what would he tell David? Because Samuel broke open heaven and introduced the Lord's voice back unto the earth. I want to read his story to you today. I'm going to give you two quick points, and I'm going to get you out of here hearing from God. Amen. Let's look at it. 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now, we're going to read this But verse 1 is like the most important verse. So let's not get too fast here. If you're taking notes, you can get out your pen or get out your cute little highlighter or whatever it may be and get ready to highlight and underline some stuff here. Notice verse 1, and the child Samuel, here we go, get ready, highlight, underline, ministered unto the Lord. The child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. He ministered, key, unto the Lord. And the word of the Lord, you could underline this too, was precious in those days. There was no open vision. This simply means the word of the Lord was rare. And I love how the Bible puts this because it gives the implication it shouldn't be that way. It says the word of the Lord was rare. I'll ask everyone in here, you can answer silently to yourself, is the word of the Lord rare or rich in your life? Would you describe it as rare or rich? It's always God's best for it to be rich. And here the Bible says there was a problem in Samuel's generation. No one was hearing from God. And all of a sudden, this kid starts ministering unto the Lord, and he's about to open up heaven. Watch what happens in verse 2. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the air of the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. He'll call you too. Amen. And he answered and said, here am I. And he ran unto Eli, Samuel did. He said, here am I, for you called me. And he said, I didn't call you. Go lie down again. And when he went, he laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. He answered and said, I called you not, my son. Lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him, meaning Samuel didn't know this was God speaking to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for you did call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go, lie down, and it shall be, if he will call thee, that you shall say, underline this, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at both of which the ears of everyone that heareth will tingle. And in that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Therefore, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice for offering forever. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Samuel gets this life-changing word, and he tells it to Eli, and Eli says, you know what? You are exactly right. Because here's the thing. Before he was calling Samuel, he had been calling Eli for years to make corrections in the life of his life and the life of his sons. And you know what Eli did? Nothing. He made absolutely no decision, like we talked about earlier through the Holy Spirit, to change, to alter anything about his life. God deals with him and deals with him and deals with him and deals with him. Nothing from Eli. And so God realizes that this is getting bad, and it's starting to breed over into the whole nation. Like, literally, Eli's sons, who are the priests, I know this is graphic, but this is scripture. These priests who were Eli's sons got so corrupted, got so, key, flesh-led, that when people were coming to the temple, they made them give them money so that they could worship, meaning give Eli's sons money so they could worship. And then they made the ladies be with them in a physical way in order for the ladies to have the right to worship in the temple. And God comes and says, you guys have lost your minds. You have gone nuts. You cannot do this. He gives them a space to repent. No one wants to make a change. And so God says, look, you have forced my hand. I can't allow you to keep corrupting this nation this way. And so he finds someone he can speak to. And this person is Samuel. This is so amazing to me because this kid's just a boy.
He's just a boy. But he takes the time to do something that no one in that nation is doing, and I want to encourage you to take the time to do this as well, because it looks like less and less people in our nation are doing it too. This kid Samuel starts worshiping and ministering unto the Lord, and it changed the whole direction of his life. You're going to have to make a decision in life. What's more important to you? The life God has for you or the life you want for you? And in all of our lives, we have to make this decision. We have to make this choice of which life am I going to pick? Am I going to create a life that only is after the life that my flesh wants? Or am I going to yield to God? And Samuel, he hears from God. He hears this calling upon his life. God's call. I feel it big in my heart. God's calling you too. He's calling you too. And God starts calling this kid, and this kid answers the call. He's so wise, even at a young age. He doesn't play with it. He doesn't run from it. He answers it. And with this, when he answers this call, God starts speaking to him directly, and it changes his life forever. From this moment forward, Samuel walks with the Lord for the rest of his days. It's a phenomenal life he lives, and it makes a difference in the nation, and it makes a difference in another man's life named King David, who changes the entire course of a nation because this man chose to walk with God. Samuel did. Friend, you'll never know the difference your life will make if you choose to walk with God. My father, years ago, drug addict, hooked on drugs, got in all kinds of mess, man. All kinds of mess. Just a messy, messy life. You know anyone who ever lived a messy life? My father lived a messy life. But God called him, and he knew it. And when he answered the call, he didn't know all that was on the other side of that call. He just answered the call. It's the same thing in your life. You'll never know what's on the other side of you answering the call until you answer it. And my father answered that call, ran down at that James Robinson meeting, gave his life to the Lord, and man, I'm telling you what, he changed the course of his family forever. And I look at my life, and I think back, what if my father never would have gotten off drugs? I look at my life and wonder, what if my father would have stayed in New Orleans instead of hopping a train back to come back home? What if he would have stayed down there? Would I have ever been born? What would have ever been accomplished? Would this church have ever been created? Would it be reaching people the way it's reaching people today? Would the lives that have been touched here over the last 30 years of this ministry be on the earth today? Would these ministries be planted? Would a conference in the West Indies be going on because we were able to give them $50,000? Would a church in Oregon be planted because we were able to give them $10,000? There's a church opening right now, right now. Today in Harlem, New York, because we gave them the money to start that church. All of those types of things. Would any of that be happening had that, you know, 19, I think at that time, he's like 17-year-old, little kid, not made a decision to answer the call of God on his life? I look at I told my wife last night, I said, man, you know what I would love? She said, what? I'd love to be my kid. I'd love to be my kid. I saw what my, I'm like, we base everything off what our kids want, what movies we go see, what we eat. I would love to be my kid. I mean, because we just, we take such good care of them. I'd love to be my kid. And with this, we were laughing about that. And I wouldn't have it any other way, by the way. And so with that, we were kind of laughing about that, and I started thinking about my kids, man. And I look at the path they're on in life, and I think back, what if my father never would have lived like he lived in front of me? What if he would have continued on that path, maybe later got married, and say I was born, but he kept living like the people he saw live that came before him? What would my kids be seeing in me today? He changed everything. How'd he change everything? He answered the call. I said he changed and he answered the call. Will you answer yours? It's your choice. It was Eli's choice. It was Eli's son's choice. It was Samuel's choice. It's yours too. Will you answer the call? Your calling is calling. Years ago, I had some church members, they went to some like exotic like vacation land, and it was somewhere like an island out in the middle of nowhere, And they went out there, and basically you had to catch your own dinner. They came back, and they're telling me this story. I'm like, you paid money for that? Like, you paid money to go catch your own food and cook your own food? I mean, that's and it was expensive? You know, and they're like, yeah, but it was great. It was awesome. We'll never forget it. I'm like, I would forget it. I would tell them to forget it and go down there and catch it for me and cook it. But anyway, they went down, and they caught this huge, like, seashell dill, and inside of it was, like, the meat inside this huge shell. And so they break open the shell and teach you how to do it, and you pull the meat out and you cook it and eat it. And I'm like, I wouldn't eat that. But anyway, they did. And they brought me back the shell as a gift. They brought me back the shell. And years ago in the old church, I was a younger preacher, and so my study habits weren't near like they are today, and I was getting up to preach and had nothing to preach on. And so I'm like, oh God, oh please help me. Give me some type of message, like anything, Lord Jesus, anything. I will take anything, either that or let praise and worship be so good today that I can just cause them to worship all the way through the service. But just something, Lord. If not, I'm just going to have to call a prayer line, because there's nothing else I can do, because I have nothing to say. So with this, I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying, and I look up and see this shell, and I just feel impressed to go get it. I get the shell and I put it up to my ear, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you could take that shell out of the ocean, but you can't ever take the ocean out of that shell. You could still hear it. It's like the ocean was calling for it. And it's literally hundreds of miles away from where it came from and where God intended it to be. Literally hundreds of miles from where God intended it to be. Yet it's sitting in my office. Yet the thing it came out of, it calls back unto it. And the Lord said, there's your message. Your calling is calling. Your calling is calling. That you can run out of your calling, but your calling will never run from you. You can be hundreds of miles away from it in complete disobedience, but something in you will keep calling you back. Something in you will keep pulling you back. And wherever you go and whatever you do and whoever you're around, and no matter how bad you miss it and how bad you make mistakes, that calling does something. You know what it does? It keeps calling. I thank God my father answered that call at the age he did it at, and not 47. What about you? Have you answered your call? I didn't preach on this in any other service. You can go back and listen to the tapes. All of them have been a little bit different today. This one's completely different. Samuel, young boy, God calls. Will you answer? Change everything. Change Samuel. Didn't just change Samuel. Changed someone who actually changed history even more than he did. You know who? David. But David never would have been David had Samuel not answered that call. And I don't know if I ever would have been Joel Sims standing in front of you now if Ronnie Sims would have never answered his call. The world is waiting on you. This whole message I had written was talking to you about hearing from God, how to do it. I think the issue with this service is not how to do it. It's you have been hearing. You've been hearing that plug, that pull, those pricks. You've been feeling it. You've been hearing it. Something in you says the time's now to change. You've been hearing it. That's your calling. Something in you says, now's the time to make a change in this area. That's your calling. Something in you is saying, now's the time to get serious. That's your calling. Something in you saying, now's the time to step out. You're hearing. I don't have to get you to hear. You're hearing. It's just, will you step out? Samuel did. And I'll ask you, if you read this story, whose life you want to be more like? You want to be like Samuel, or you want to be like Eli? You want to be like David, or you want to be like Eli's sons? The choice is 100% yours. Their calling was calling every single one of them. The difference was two men answered it, and another household refused to pick it up. What will you do with yours? I trust you're making the right choice. I love you guys. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these amazing people, the opportunity to preach to them. I love them. With every fiber of my being, I love them. My heart, it beats for them. My soul, it yearns for them. And I ask you, Lord, that these eyes have seen what is the hope of your calling. And I ask you, Father, to give these people the courage to answer it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Everyone in here, just say this prayer with me. I know we do this a lot, so don't just say it with habit force. Mean it. Mean it, mean it. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I hear it. I hear it. I hear my calling, calling. I hear it. I hear it, Father. My calling is calling. And I hear it. And today, Lord, I choose it. No matter the cost, no matter the consequence, I choose my calling. I will not forfeit my life any longer. I will not give my life any longer to the wrong things, the wrong people, and the wrong influences, because I hear it. I hear it. My calling is calling, and I answer. I surrender my life to you. I give you my best, and I ask you, Father, for your grace to help me make these choices, to answer this call, and to walk it out. I thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. Your calling's calling. It's time. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, maybe you need someone to pray about what we just talked about, come down to this altar. Let us pray with you, for you. If you say, I need some help getting serious, we'll help you walk this process through. Come down to this altar. This is your first time here at Word of Life. Awesome. Amen. Come on down, sister. Amen. 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 Hey, good to see you. Hey, isn't this awesome? You know what this is? This is courage. I love that, don't you? Amen. In fact, let's all stand to our feet. Everyone in here, if you say, Pastor Joel, I want to do what she did. I want to make a confession. I'm done. I'm not looking back. I'm done. I'm ready. Come down. Come see me. I want to shake your hand. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. You never know what changes. You never know what will change with one act of courage. People are coming. Let's give them a hand. Amen. It's awesome. Awesome, awesome. Awesome. God's proud of you. Amen. Hey, brother. It's a good-looking shirt. God bless you. God bless you. Hey, girl. Good to see you. Hey, good to see you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Amen. I'll wait on you. I don't have anything to do. A nap's the only thing in my future today. That and some NBA basketball. Anybody else? Hey, girl. Proud of you. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. Love it. Love it, love it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Let's pray. Everyone down here, let's pray. I'm going to pray for you. Father, I thank you for these people. I admire their courage, their strength. And I thank you, Father, for your grace upon them, in them, and on them. Strengthen them, Father. Give them the courage to run their race. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask the people who are here, stay down here, and I'm going to pray with you as individuals and have prayer room workers pray with you. If you need prayer for anything else, come down to the altar, and we're going to have a prayer team ready to pray with you and for you. If you're a first-time guest, go get your T-shirt. We've got a T-shirt for you on the other side of that wall. Go get it. It's just our little gift to you. And don't forget about next weekend. We're having a live water baptism throughout the whole weekend, during service, after service, around service. It's going to be awesome right there in the foyer. You don't want to miss it. You really don't. It should be really, really neat. We'll see you guys. Love you so much. You're dismissed. We are going to be praying with you and for you. We'll see you next time. Amen.